Okay, so B'siyata D'Shmaya, we're up to Simin Shin Pei Aleph, the halachos of Rechitza, the Isser of Rechitza. And here we have halacha, of course, that we learned in the beginning of Shin Ayin Hei, that Rechitza is Aser for an Avel, Shin Pei. That we saw that Rechitz is Aser for an Avel. But here we have something interesting in regards to the Hanhaga for Ashkenazim. The Ashkenazim might even have an Isser Rechitza all 30 days. So let's take a look at the Mechaber. Mechaber says, Rechitza Ketza, what's the nature of the Isser Rechitza? Aser Lurchotz Kol Gufo, it's prohibited to wash your entire body, Afilu Betzoni, even in cold water, Avol Panav Yodav Raglov, Bechamin Aser Betzoni Mutter. But one's hands and feet and arms, it's prohibited in hot water, but in cold water, it's going to be mutter. So this is would be the pashtus of the Gemara. The Gemara tells us, in both in Hilchos Yom HaKippurim, as well as we could apply, says the Gron Sifkat and Aleph, to Hilchos Avelus, that the halacha is that removing dirt is not considered washing. So the Gra points out, Daf Ayin Zayin Mabez, we have it in Yom HaKippurim, and we would apply the same in regards to Avelos as well. And washing that's qualified as Aser is washing one's entire body. And if you're washing your entire body, so then in such a case, cold water and hot water is Aser, but cold water for Panav Yodav Raglav is not even called Rechitza. I guess there's a term they use in America called freshening up. So freshening up wouldn't even be considered Rechitza. So that is...
Then why is hot water Aser?
Because hot water is more than freshening up. For hot water would be considered Rechitza. Here's where... So for Svaradim, it will be very, very straightforward. For Ashkenazim, we have... the following lashon of the Rama: the kol zeh midina, eina asur rak shiva. Aval achakach muter mechitza. Ela shenagu wa idina lesser mechitza kol. Actually, here we're gonna. That was so funny. Did you notice I skipped a word in the Rama? I skipped a word. I said ela shenagu wa idina lesser mechitza kol shloshim yom. And the reason I did that is because I was so used to reading the Dibur HaMaskil of the Shach. The Shach takes out the word kol, and we're going to get to that. But let me read it correctly, at least the way the Rama wrote it. El Shinago in the lesser kol rechitza kol shoshim yam. All types of rechitza is going to be aser for the entirety of 30 days. Vafil lachuf harosh aser, even shampooing is considered rechitza. Ve'ein l'shanos haminit kiminit kodem hu v'nisyaseid al pi Vasikin. It was created by Vasikin doesn't mean at the time that the sun comes up, but Vatikin means the old people. Nowadays, the new generation is not interested to what the older Chachamim have to say, unfortunately. But once upon a time, people were, and also it was something that was extolled once upon a time, and of course that is the Masorah. So this was something that was Mesiaseh Dalpi Vasikin, and therefore that's not something that should be changed. What exactly is it that should be changed, shouldn't be changed? We'll get to shortly. Why would we have such a Chumrah? Why would we have such a thing? So here, there's something interesting that we have in the Taz. The Taz quotes the Or Zeruah. In other words, let me just be 100% clear what my question is. If Rechitza is mutter during Shloshim, where did this minag come l'chumra? If it's mutter. So the Taz says something interesting. Or Zeruah nasan tam l'minag, d'chashin dilma asan misrik reishay d'asar kol Shloshim. The first explanation that the Taz gives is from the Or Zeruah, that we're afraid that people are going to pull out their hair during Shloshim. And what's the problem with that? The problem with that would resemble hair cutting. Vim came lidi don, but our shita that holds the shari l'sruk rosha kadisa simin shin sadi hayim mutar lirchotz. It wouldn't be considered tispores. Let me be more precise. Combing one's hair is some thought was usher during Shloshim because you might pull out your hair, which would be considered tisporas. So he says, but we paskin that combing your hair is mutter, because at the end of the day, that's not tisporas, because even if you pull out the hairs, it's not going to be a problem. So that is first possible explanation why to be macher al Shloshim, that if you're going to bathe, you're going to pull out your hair. By the way, it's not the pashtus of the Ramah, because the Ramah only added shampooing one's hair at the end. It sounded like that the Ramah wasn't concerned about when he's talking about bathing. It sounded like he was talking about bathing one's body, not shampooing. Okay, for a shal nos and tam the asur mishum tisporas, a different reason. Kain derech hanichnas b'merchatz legaleach saras rosho. So then he says, he says that the concern is that in those days they used to do hair cutting and bathing at the same time. By the way, Hasidim, for those who are not familiar with Hasidic culture, the Hasidim to this day do that. As you know, Hasidim shave their hair. So where do they shave their hair? If you go to Williamsburg, there are no barbers in Williamsburg. So where do the Hasidim shave the hair? The answer is that when they go to the mikveh every couple of weeks, in the mikveh they shave. It doesn't have to be a professional barber. All you need is somebody who could just shave the head. So that's, to this day, Hasidim do that. And once upon a time, when a person went to bathe, they also went often to it for a haircut. Okay, so if that's so then that would be another reason why Shloshim. Because we know the halacha is that the Avel is not allowed to cut his hair for Shloshim. So that would be an interesting explanation why not to bathe. No, the concern is that was what everybody was used to doing. That was like the standard procedure that we were afraid that the person's going to get, would forget that they're not supposed to. Vein lahakshos, but you'll ask a gavalda kakasha. Im kei b'cholamoy, da'asur tisporos, la'havi nami rechitza asur mitam zen. Nir liyashev, de b'cholamoy, yesh Yisrael kol olam, v'rab lo yinech shalom. But the question is, if that would be so, chalmud, you're also not allowed to cut your hair. So then you shouldn't be able to be rochets, and that we never heard of. So he says, but if you have everybody, so then everybody's going to remind you at the barber. The barbers are going to be closed, and in the mikveh, they're going to close the hair cutting. But when it comes to a singular avel, so then in such a case, it would be different, and then we would have the concern. So these are the two explanations in the Taz. Ultimately, we don't know exactly what the svara is, but this is the minig, and this is how we're knowing. Now, what type of washing is going to be usur? So that we're about to see. Says Rabbi Kiva Eger. Says the Shach before Rabbi Kiva Eger. The Shach says on the Ramah, he has the girsa elashenagu wa idna lesa rechitza kol shloshim. He says the girsa is not kol rechitza, but rechitza. The nafgamina between the two girsos is that rechitza bitzonein is going to be mutter during shloshim according to the Shach. The Shach says elashenagu it. If you remember that during Shiva you can't even wash in cold water. By the way, does that mean a person can never take a shower when they're in Avil? Not necessarily. We'll get back to that shortly. Mind me to discuss the exceptions if I forget to. But the Ramah says, the Shach says, V'cheinu ba'teres v'azav, v'lo k'mosh nitfas b'svarim, kol rechitza kol amid, v'adei rechitza b'tzon in lek yisur klas. The Shach is of the position that bathing in cold water is not going to be a problem. By the way, cold water probably doesn't mean freezing water. Cold water would mean that not hot water. So it would seem to me even something that would be lightly lukewarm could very well be permissible as well. So this is the Shach's comment. Says Rabbi Kiva Eger, nearly kavanoso. Let's just spell out the Shach, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, before I'm going to disagree. What is the Shach's kavana? The lufia girsa kol rechitza kol lamid ha'yimashmet ramah balosiv shtei chumas. That if you have the word kol twice, then the Ramah is saying that during Shloshim, where washing should be mutter, during the entire period of time of Shloshim, he's introducing two Isurim. Not only does the prohibition apply during Shloshim, but all types of rechitza are going to be aser. The Ramah bala osef shtechomas, ha-rishon b'muhus ha-rechitza, that number one, that the Mechaber allows rechitza as pon of yodav raglav bitzonein, u'mitzad ha-minig osrim kol rechitza afilu rechitza, panav yadav viraglav bitzonim. That the Ramah is coming along, and the Ramah is saying that even panav yadav viraglav bitzonim is going to be aser. And that is going to be the first chumrah that the Ramah is going to have over the Mechaber, not just in Shloshim, even during Shiva. And therefore, there's, according to Rabbi Akiva Eger's understanding of the Ramah, there is a machlokis about freshening up. That according to the Mechaber, freshening up is going to be permissible in terms of panav yadav viraglav bitzonim, while even that is going to be aser according to the Ramah lefi Rabbi Akiva Eger. Hasheni, the second chumra is b'meshach hazman da'aser kol shloshim. Ulezek kosev hashach la'giya d'tzarech lomer rechitza kol la'am d'aynu d'kol mad da'aser mechaber b'dina kol shiva aser mitzad amini kol shloshim. D'aynu kol gufo b'tzonein o panav yadav ragl b'chamin. So says Rabbi Akiva Eger, that's what the shach is coming to say. Don't make that mistake. The Ramah never meant to be more machmir within shiva and say that you can't wash with cold water, your hands, and your face. That is going to be permissible. However, what was the Ramah doing? What the Ramah was doing was the Ramah was saying that they added to Shloshim washing one's body in cold water or one's hands in hot water. And that is the Chumrah. That is the Chumrah of the Ramah. So now, we have three different halachic tracks over here to summarize. Let's just summarize the different shitas. We have the opinion of the Mechaber, the standard opinion, which is the pashtus of the Gemara, and that is that washing during Shiva is aser, but washing with cold water for hands and face is going to be permissible. Then we have the extreme understanding of the Ramah, which Rabbi Akiva Eger is actually going to like, and that is the Ramah disagrees with both things of the Mechaber. In other words, he disagrees that during Shloshim it's permissible, and we discussed already why there might be an Isser during Shloshim to wash. And he says that it's not only Rechitza, but Kol Rechitza is Aser. In other words, he's coming along to say that even Panav Yadav Viraglav is going to be Aser in hot water, is going to be Aser in cold water. And in Shloshim, so then the halacha would be that in Shloshim, one is not allowed to wash, even in cold water, one's body. One's hands is going to be permissible in cold water, but the entire body is going to be usher in cold water. So that would be the other extreme. In between is the Shach's understanding of the Ramah. The Shach's understanding of the Ramah is that the Ramah didn't mean to say Panav Yadav Viraglav is going to be usher during Shiva. He's going to agree that it's mutter during Shiva, and he's going to say that during Shloshim, the halacha is that cold water is going to be permissible, and what we extended was the isser of washing in hot water during Shloshim. Right, because he says the vaday rechitza bitzonein leka isur leka isura klal. So here, the way I just said it was that way. But if you take a look at the Dogel Mervava says haynu panav yadav viraglav. So there are those who reread the Shach and say that when the Shach says that bitzonein is mutter, he only means panav yadav viraglav. So we have a fourth shita within the Shach. In other words, two ways of understanding the Shach. Either literally the Shach is saying that bitzonein is mutter during Shloshim, or the way the Dogel Mervava understands it, and that is that kol gufo is going to be aser bitzonein. Now, I think most of this discussion actually, even though it seems, first of all, to be quite machmir, I think most of this discussion, if a person is living a halachic life, b'cheshbon, is not as overwhelming as it seems. In other words, the simple reading, let's say, of Rabbi Akiva Eger, is that even panav yadav viraglav is going to be a problem. However, I want to be medayek in the lashon of the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Rechitza says that the Isser is Rechitza of Tainug. One is not allowed to be Rochetz Tainug. And if you take a look, the Chochmas Adam in Simin Kuf Samach Hey, the Chochmas Adam quotes it. The Chochmas Adam says that Rechitza that's Aser is going to be Rechitza of Tainug. So, what would you say about removing sweat? So, sweat doesn't get a reference in when it comes to Rechitza, but when it comes to Sicha, it does. So if you take a look in Sif Beis, the Mechaber says, Sicha, when it comes to anointing oneself, Ketzad Asa Lasa Chafil Kolshu Mechavin L'Tanuk. Avamihu Lahavir Es HaZuama. Now, Zuama is a Talmudic term that's used for something that's, what would be the best way to translate? Any suggestions of Zuama? Disgusting is almost too heavy of a word. But something, the word's on the tip of my tongue and I'm just not pulling it out. Any suggestions?
Like spiritual impurity?
Well, but here it's not. Here it's not spiritual impurity. Here, right, you're right. The Chazal do use that in that term, in that context. Zuma's dirty. There it refers to spiritual filth.
The wrong state.
But here it's more than that. It's some type of laver sazuma is something filthy. But it's different than the filth that we had before, because previously we spoke about titsoa. Now, what type of filth is this? Previously, when it came to rechitza, you had clay, you had excrement, you had dirt. And so on. So it seems to me that in those days, I remember when I was a kid, this is how we Americans used to contrast the way the hygiene of Americans versus Middle Easterners is that what's done in the Middle East, what we used to say is what's done in the Middle East is that they throw perfume and cologne on top of sweat instead of cleaning off the sweat. So that I think is an ancient thing. It goes back in time. So it would seem to me that in those days the way they dealt with filth is that they would anoint, they would put perfumes and colognes and stuff like that. They would mask it. And so therefore it wasn't common to do rechitza on zuama of some type of sweat or some type of filth. And therefore it could very well be that rechitza to remove zuama is also going to be mutter. Because as we saw in the Chachmas Adam, the only rechitza that's going to be aser is going to be rechitza shel tainuk. So it is true, and this comes up in the 9 days, a lot of people, that based on these halachas, we're not talking about the 9 days now, but we see that there is an iser for an avil during shloshim to even use cold water, right, to wash in cold water, even according to the Shach, according to the Noda B'Yehuda, it's usher to bathe in cold water. But it could be that issue of bathing was what we would call in Yiddish a geshmaka rechitza. In other words, something that's enjoyable. But if a person is going into the shower, and the person is going into the shower just to remove sweat, so it could be that even toch shiva, it would be mutter. Now, I wouldn't recommend it halach lamaisa. I would say that halach lamaisa during shiva not to wash. But first of all, if you have an istanis, we have a term for istanis as we go on in the simon. Or let's say you have someone who's not ready. I was just at a shiva house. And one of the people was, you know, going to follow halach ad hasof. And then there was somebody who was asking, but wasn't ready to listen. You have to have a good sense of that as a rav of where the people are. So in that instance, I told them that if we're talking about people who anyhow, I was speaking to a third party. If we're talking about any people who anyhow are probably not going to keep the halachos, just to tell them that they could shower when to remove sweat, as opposed to an enjoyable shower. And then it could very well be that they're being mekayim the core halacha entirely. And also, I would just recommend that if someone who's already keeping halacha, that they shouldn't take a nice hot shower, even during the shloshim, based on the above. Again, the Noda B'Yudah says even a cold shower is aser, but if it's to remove sweat and they take a lukewarm shower, it doesn't have to be a freezing shower, l'nias daiti. If they take a lukewarm shower, so then in such a case, that would be permissible. Okay, so that is, and of course, those who follow the Mechaber, the halacha is very, very straightforward and clear. All these complications don't exist. And for the Mechaber, it's just straight up that Panav Yodav Raglav Bechamin is usher during Shiva, but and Sonin, all type of showering is going to be mutter after Shiva. Okay, we did Sif Beis, Sif Gimel's Yoledes, which makes reference to Istinis, Yoledes, Avela Shetzricha Lirchot's Mutter, V'chei Mad Islei Urbuvya Beresha Mutter Lirchot Rosh Bechamin, to Lo Gar Mistinis Shemutter Lirchot's Kol Gufo. For lo kol mi shomer istinis ani matirin lo adafka shu yadua shu istinis u misnag binikius v'im lo yirchatz yistar har bev yovel day mechush. There are many who point out that there is, might be a significant amount of the population today that falls into this category of istinis, but it's not istinis that just simply they're used to taking a shower every day. It means that they yovel day mechush. That means that they mamish feel ill. And there are people out there who don't shower, who don't feel ill. Some people out there who don't shower make others feel ill, but that's a different issue. But that's this din of Yavo Lidei Mechush. Okay, let's jump to Sif Hei. Nida, shenizdamna zman tvilosa b'mei avela, eina tovela. So a Nida does not go to the mikvah, and the reason would be that is a problem of rechitza, although I throw out to you a pilpul, we did discuss on Shabbos whether it's rechitza for a person to go to mikveh, right? Halach lemaisa, we paskin that it's not rechitza, even though it's an open question why it is. I didn't mention this in the shir last time, but really it's an open question how you could use hot water, because the whole heter was, one of the heterim was nira kemekar. So I don't know if we spelled out.
I think we spelled a little bit.
We just mentioned that quickly.
Based measures because they were doing
mitzvah. So you discussed it there. You discussed it with them there. Beautiful. So at the end of the day, we do go to the mikvah. But over here, there's not going to be any heter, because at the end of the day, she can't be with her husband anyway. Anyhow, so certainly, even if you're going to want to advance the Adam Maker Heter, the only reason we would even jump into the Heter is because of the mitzvah of Ona, because that was what allowed us to go to the mikveh in the first place on Friday night. We didn't rely on Adam Maker. So here there's no mitzvah Ona, so then Eina Tovelas. Says the Ramah something interesting. V'kol shekein she'en rochetzes lilvosh levonim. Certainly she doesn't wash herself to wear white. So this is our continuation from our previous limud. The halacha is that for hefsek tara, the woman is supposed to wash herself and to be able to know that all the blood that's coming from her is new blood. But here, she can't do that. Avol miyad achar shiva af pi shenogu isa brechitza kol shoshim mikol makum hu muteres rak shetishtane brechitza ktsas. So the Ramah says, really, she shouldn't do that in Shiva at all. We're going to see the position of the Taz might be a little bit different. But the Ramah says that she shouldn't do that at all during Shiva, wash herself, that is. But she can do in Shloshim. Mikol makom yuteres rak shetishana rechitza ksas. As long as she does that, that would be okay. If one takes a look at the Taz, about three quarters of the way down in Sif Katan Beis, the I'm picking up the Al Kolponim Nira Li in the Taz. The Al Kolponim Nira Li, the Gamra Ramah Lo Niskaven Kan Litchos Levishas Halibun Legamri Adachar Shiva, the Zep Pshito Sheiner, Sherei Efshal Lulbosh Libun Bral Rechitz Legamri. First of all, he says he didn't mean to say that she can't start her Hefsek Tara. She could put clean undergarments on, and then in such a case, it would be permissible. Kamosh Kasabi Yaradea Bagah. All she needs to do is wash a little in the vaginal area, that's it. And she doesn't need to do rechitza at all. All that she needs is in Ilchas Nida is a clean undergarment. So he says the first opinion in the Taz is that she could do a little bit of rechitza, and that would be fine. And during shloshim, that even the Rama said that she'll be able to do rechitza. But in Shiva, according to this first opinion of the Taz, she'll still begin her Shiva Nikim, but she won't do any Rechitza. However, the Taz continues, V'shuvri isi b'masas binyamin d'matya fil l'urchas b'toch shiv lo shalvanim v'cholek al armakan v'dvarav nechonim. So the Masas binyamin says, no, this is going to be permissible as well. What would be the Masas binyamin's rationale? It would seem to me that the Masas binyamin, without looking it up, the Masas binyamin probably is going to say that when we're talking about just washing around that area, that would be like removing lichluch tit vitzoa. It's removing the blood. So just like that's mutter during Shiva, she'd be able to do that as well. However, the Taz concludes, the mikol makom l'maisa nirli de'en lo derchatz l'vishas libun, el sh'terachetz paneh shel mata v'tilbosh chaluk naki lo lavon mamish. She could put on a new undergarment, but not something that's white. What's wrong with the white? So I saw that there, and Rav Nevinsal told me this pshat, and I think I saw this in Svarim as well, that the assumption was that if it's going to be something really white, that she's going to have to wash it beforehand. And remember, in those days, it was very hard to get a garment to be white. Nowadays, it's a lot easier. So if we have something that's white, so then that means that it's been just freshly washed in the time of Chazal. So if that would be so, it's Aser Kibus is going to be Aser. So that's why the halacha would be as we just mentioned.
Kibisa's Aser for Nabel?
Yes, and we're going to learn that, Mirza. We'll spend a lot of time. And there's two Isur. One is to wash one's clothing. And the other is, aside from washing one's clothing, is to wear a garment that has been laundered. We have that during the 9 days as well. Okay, so that's almost everything we need in regards to Rechitza. An interesting Maharshal, a collector's item over here at the end of the Taz, he quotes the Maharam, that the Maram was a Baal Bris. What's the halacha a Baal Bris? One of three things. Either the father of a child, the Sandik, or the Moel. That's a halachic definition of Baal Bris. That the Maram was a Baal Bris during Shloshim for his father, and he washed the night before. And he said it's considered a regel for him. And since it's a regel, and the Ramah is only a Chumrah, to be Machmer during Shloshim, so during Shloshim, he would be allowed to wash. So if there is a case of a bris, then the halacha is that during shloshim it would be mutter. Okay. Here the mechaber continues and he says that makeup, different types of makeup, will also be considered like rechitza. Isha lo sikchol v'lo sifarkes b'mei avela shekol elu asurim kirechitza. They're considered like rechitza. The Shach immediately points out, don't extend the Ashkenazic Chumrah to Shloshim. It's just during the Shiva itself. Mi'ul inyan zeh chomer merechitza, she'asur achar shivim lo beish yisish, rechitza, excuse me. The Shach says, erase what I just said, that it doesn't apply to Shloshim. The Shach says that when it comes to the makeup, rechitza is going to be less chomer, that when it comes to a married woman, there she's mutter for rechitza after her shiva. So when it comes to the cosmetics is going to be more chomer. So it has the din, the full din of rechitza. Ve'eishes ish continues the mechaber. Ve'eishes ish ein asura elatok shiva. A married woman, it's asur for shiva. Aval achar shiva muteres kedei shelo tiskayna al baila. But after Shiva, it's going to be mutter, and as well as for Kala, that Kala is also going to be more lenient, as the Mechaber spells out. The Mechaber concludes with something interesting. He says Naira avela asura filu bikichul upirkos. He says a naira, in other words, a woman that's not going to, is not dating, a woman who's not married, so then she's not going to have the above heterim. She's not going to have the above heterim. So it's interesting that the Mechaber uses the term naira. So why do you say naira? So we're actually going to go off to a side topic. So let's just summarize over here. The Mechaber told us that cosmetics has a din in general of rechitza, with exceptions of a married woman and so on and so forth. Okay, as the Mechaber lineage. As far as naira, so the Sefer Beis Hillel, which is on the bottom of many of your Shulchan Aruchs, he says as follows: Mikan nira mid the class of naira, aval ktana pchusim yud beis shana v'yom echad, eina chayeves ba'avelus klal. We are going to use this last words of the Mechaber to go off on a tangent to discuss children. Over here, the Mechaber said that a naira has the isser of cosmetics, but the mashmos is that children would not. Now, by the way, you could answer simply that girls under the age of 12 don't wear makeup. That's what was being discussed over here. But the Beis Hillel assumes that you could be medayik, that ketana is not going to be bechlav. Why? Because children are not in the rules of avelos. Now, that should be surprising to you. Why would that be surprising to you? Why would you think that children would be in the rules of avelos? Let me be more specific. 11-year-old girl, should she be in the rules of avelos or she shouldn't be?
Chinuch.
Yes, chinuch, exactly. Exactly. So that is a big discussion that we didn't have enough time to get to in Hilchos Korea, and I looked for the time that we would have be able to bring it back in, and this is the place to bring it back in. So in Simen Shin Mem, if you have your tour in front of you, in Simen Shin Mem, Sif Chaf Vav, we have a discussion about Kriya for a Katan. We have a discussion about Kriya for a Katan. Excuse me, Chav Zayin. Now, the Lashon of the Gemara is as follows. It's like the Lashon of the tour. Shin Mem Chav Zayin. Katan shemeis lo meis, mikarin lo mipnei agmas nefesh. That's the Lashon of the Gemara on Chav Vav Amud Beis. That's what the Gemara tells us. That you are Korea for, excuse me, Chav Vav Amud Alf, the Gemara says that you're Korea for a Katan. Now the Gemara's Lashon is mipnei agmas nefesh. That's how the Gemara says. To a due to agmas nefesh. That's how the Gemara explains. So, this explanation, a mipnei agmas nefesh. So what do you do with that? Is that telling us maybe that there's no chinuch, and the only reason that there's kriya is because of agmas nefesh? Now, what does agmas nefesh mean? Let's just define what agmas nefesh means. Agmas nefesh, the Rishonim spell out, is there's nothing more tragic than seeing a child with a beged karua. So here what you have is not that we're doing it because there's a mitzvah to be mechanech the child, but rather what's being done is create a sense of agmas nefesh. Now we're going to see that there are shitos like that. And you take a look, that's exactly what the Tur says about agmas nefesh, the way I just described it. Chav Zayin, the Tur says, again, Shin Mem Chav Zayin, Katan Shemes Lo Meis, Mikarin Lo Mipnei Agmas Nefesh, Perush kidei laharbos behespid, in order to increase the hespid. Now this is going to be the shita of the tour. The tour sounds like that it's only due to agmas nefesh. The cost of Haritz Geyas, but the Ritz Geyas says, Imigia lechinuch karon lo kederach shemechan chinoso b'shar mitzvos, that if they reach the age of chinuch, then you do kriya as if there is chinuch by these mitzvos. So that is, we have here a machlokus of kriya. Is there chinuch by kriya? Now, if we're going to say that there's chinuch by kriya, there might very well be chinuch when it comes to Avelus as well. We did learn Avelus Lechud V'Kriya Lechud, but we need to prove that Avelus and Kriya are two different worlds. So over here, what we're going to have is different explanations of why, for some reason, when it comes to a katan, we say that there is no din of chinuch of avelus by a katan. So the Beis Hillel we're going to start with, because that's what's on our page, and then we're going to work backwards. The Beis Hillel by us quotes the Rambam that we mentioned last time, that the Rambam says that the role of avelus is tshuva. Towards the end of this space, Hillel, he says, he quotes the Rambam, Kol mishen usav kmo shetziva chacham arei zachzori, el yifache v'yidag, v'yifash pesh b'maisa v'yachzor b'tshuva. Nimtza, he writes the Beis Hillel, she'ikr tam avelus u'mishum tshuva, she'yachzor b'tshuva mishum shehen kol b'nei achabura arevim zeh b'zeh. Avol b'katan ein shayach tam zeh b'tshuva. He says, a katan hasn't reached that stage to be required for tshuva. So this would be an explanation why the Gemara says mepnei agmas nefesh. In other words, is the Gemara talking about the sole reason to tear for a child, or an added reason? So if I learn that there's no chinuch by when it comes to avelus, when it comes to a katan, and I assume that avelus and kriya over here are going to have the same dinim, that for whatever reason, there's no reason to do avelus, there isn't going to be a reason to do kriya. If that's so then in such a case, then I have a new reason, and that is due to agmas nefesh. However, if you hold like the Ritz Geis, not like the Tur, by the way, Ramesh is going to list the Rishon, and we'll get to the other Rishon, but I was staying in the Tur. But according to the Ritz Geis, so we'll say no, that for a child who reaches the age of chinuch, they tear mitam chinuch. But a child who reaches the age of below chinuch, who is of the age of below chinuch, then maybe there is an inyan to do kriya for agmas nefesh. Just at any age. In other words, even the age of 5, let's say. In such a case, maybe there would be an inyan to do kriya on such a child. That would be a nafkamina between whether ultimately the Gemara is giving another reason, or the Gemara is giving a gether of chinuch. Now, if you take a look at the Dogma Mervava on Shin, we have this halacha in Shulchan Aruch about kriya. Let's take a look. Shin Mem Siv Chav Zayin. Katan Shemes Lo Meis Mikarin Lo. Now take a look at the Shach. Mipnei Agmas Nefesh. He says it's due to Agmas Nefesh. So what was that Agmas Nefesh? We said that to be Marbe Behesped. And the Taz then quotes the Ritz Geis. And then after the Taz quotes it, the Taz says, V'kosa v'drisha mekan raya tzas. That's what I said to you before. The Drisha is the source that says that if we're going to say that they tear kriya for chinuch at the age of chinuch, that ktanim or have dine avelus. So it comes out, it's a machlokis. According to the Shach that says it's just putting everything into the Shulchan Aruch. According to the Shach that's agmas nefesh, there's no source that there's chinuch by avelus. But the Drisha says, according to the Ritz Geis, who says that totally on the din of chinuch, so then there will be chinuch when it comes to avelus as well. Comes along the No de Yehuda, and the No de Yehuda says, wrong! Says the No de Yehuda in the Dogma Mervava, he says, how can you say there's chinuch for avelus? You're keeping them out of school for 7 days. Says, that's not chinuch. That's a Yoshev Dom. We're going to learn later on is avelus. So you're keeping them out of school. So he says another reason why we'd assume there's no chinuch of avelus by a katan, and the other reason is not just tshuva, but you're keeping them out of school. Finally, Rav Moshe Feinstein in his tshuva in Chelek Aleph in Yoredeya Simin Kuf Chaf Beis, Rav Moshe says that he has another reason that maybe you shouldn't be subject to chinuch. He says the whole idea of chinuch is to train someone to get into the role, the hitragel, to the mitzvahs. And Rav Moshe says we don't assume that you need to be mechanech for something like ptira. So Rav Moshe says an event like that that's going to happen, chas v'chalil, it is going to happen because it's two givens in life, right? Death and taxes. But that's not something that we're mechanech. Rav Moshe claims that's not something lehit ragel. We're mechanech to put on tefillin and so on and so forth. But Rav Moshe writes that, so he gives a third reason. Ultimately, Rav Moshe says that he thinks the pashtus of the Shulchan Aruch is that it is based on chinuch. And therefore, he says then the kriya would be a tefach. The nafgamina that the poskim say, we're going to see one of the kitzer books inside shortly. The nafgamina is, if it's chinuch, then the kriya has to be a tefach, as we've learned previously. But if it's agmas nefesh, then any noticeable kriya would be enough. So therefore, I would recommend that if they're doing chinuch to a younger child that's not in the stage of chinuch, then not to do with the size of a tefach, because then there's no, it's not als chinuch, it's only going to be due to agmas nefesh. However, we're going to see that most assume that we don't do to any children unless children that have reached some age of chinuch. We're about to see what that age is going to be. But I'm giving you another nafgamina of whether it's chinuch and agmas nefesh. Another big nafgamina between chinuch and agmas nefesh is that there are some poskim that say that chinuch, that agmas nefesh only applies la'aviv u'le'imo. In other words, there's the agmas nefesh, many Rishonim assume that the agmas nefesh is seeing the child that has a bega karua for a lost father or mother. That there's ein agmas nefesh yosem izeh. The poskim assume that when it comes to a sibling, that the agmas nefesh would not be on the same level. So some say that that would be another nafkamina. If we say that's due to chinuch, so then in such a case it would be all sheva krovin. But if it's agmas nefesh, then that minug is only at that stage. If you comb the page that we were reading, most of the poskim assume that it's actually not chinuch. By the way, Rabbi Kiva Eger says exactly what I said, that a katan mamish would be ktsas mepnei agmas nefesh, would be katan sheigil lechinuch koren lo kriya. But there are many poskim, there is a back and forth of whether there is chinuch by a katan or not. Rav Soloveitchik, by the way, gave one last reason in the Shiurei HaRav, Simin Lamites, why there would be avelus by a katan, and that is avelus. We've already mentioned, according to Rav Soloveitchik, is peulos, but the kiyum is aninus belev. And he said that a child is not at that emotional stage that's ready for avelus, which is interesting. So on a pastoral level, that we shouldn't know it, but if one is encountered in a situation where children are in mourning. A children's mourning is very, very different than adults. And Rav Soloveitchik therefore suggests that might also be a reason why there's no chinuch. So we gave actually four reasons today of why there would be no chinuch. Even though maybe, right, that's, and that, that yeah, let's leave it at that. Okay, so that's how Rav Soloveitchik explained it. And those are nafgaminas. Lamaisa, lamaisa, lamaisa. What's the hanhaga lamaisa? So if you take a look at the supplemental book, you'll see it as follows. On page 99 in the morning in Halacha, the way the Pnei Baruch suggests, this is the standard, this is the most standard psak, particularly in the Ashkenazic world, is as follows. If a child is capable of understanding that a family member has died and that people tear their clothing aside in grief, he is said to be of gil chinuch. Upon the death of a family member from whom the child would be required to mourn, the following halachos apply. For a child who has not yet reached gil chinuch, someone makes a small tear in the child's garment. And for a child who has reached gil chinuch, then in such a case, a tefach is torn. So that is exactly the psak, the with the lumdos that we gave, which would be consistent with Rabbi Kiva Eger. They, however, do conclude, however, some poskim disagree. 86, the Chachma Shlomo Stei Chemed, that say that it's only a little. Kimdumani, the Minhag Olam, is closer to the first psak. In other words, when it comes to a katan that reaches the age of chinuch, generally they do a tefach, and some a little. Although Ramesha argues that at the end of the day, that since we paskin that there is no chinuch by avelos, so too there's no chinuch when it comes to kriya as well. That's how Ramesha comes out. Even though Ramesha points out that the pashtus of the Shulchan Aruch is that it's a regular form of kriya. So there are different minhagim to this day. Bottom line also that one should be aware of, that's clear, is that Ruba, the poskim don't assume like the Ritz Geis. Ruba, poskim assume like the Beis Hillel's diuk in front of us, that we had the Beis Hillel who said that the Shulchan Aruch said Naira but not Ktana, and that we assume La Halacha that there is no Avelus when it comes to Katan. That comes up. That sometimes comes up, you should be aware. So Kriya is generally done, but the Nihuge Avelus are not required of a Katan. Now, whatever that will be helpful for the Katan psychologically, emotionally, and so on, that should certainly be done, but there isn't a din of Chinuch for all the above mentioned reasons. Okay, I think we covered that sensitive and important topic thoroughly. Any questions? Good? Beautiful. Let's keep on pushing ahead. We have in Shin Pei Beis the Isser of Ni'ilas HaSandal. So in regards to Ni'ilas HaSandal, the Mechaber says as follows. Aval Aser B'Ni'ilas HaSandal Dafka Shel Or Aval Ba'am Palya Shel Beged O Shel Gemi O Shel Seir O Shel Eitz Mutter. Now here there are a lot of Chidushim in the Mechaber. These halachos might sound familiar to you, and that is that the prohibition is to wear shoes. However, many of these things that the Machaber was matir, or some of them, maybe many is too much. Well, many of these things, according to some Rishonim, that's the way to say it, many of these things, according to some Rishonim, are going to be actually usur. For example, the Shita of Rashi is that wooden shoes is usur for Yom HaKippurim. Many of these things appear in Tafresh Yud Dalid, as quoted by the Tur Beis Yosef over there. And the background behind the Shitas, how it relates, for example, to the Chalitza shoe and so on and so forth, is beyond our scope. But you could take a look at the Beis Yosef. But for the bottom line, a good way to sort of see what the Chiddush that we have going on over here is to take a look at the Mishneh Berurah in Tafresh Yud Dalid. In Tafresh Yud Dalid is Hilchas Yom HaKippurim. In Hilchas Yom HaKippurim, the Mechaber generally mirrors his position in Hilchas Avelos. However, the Mishneh Berurah quotes the following. In Sifkatan Hei, he says, V'yesh machmirin shemachmirin b'shel eitz. There are some who say that wooden shoes are, this is going to be the Shita of Rashi. And then the Mishneh Berurah continues with an even bigger chumrah. He then says, V'chein yesh machmirim shel alatzos b'minol ha'asui milavadim. Anything that was made out of bad, different types of fabric, v'asui k'minol shelanu v'hu magen al haregel, and it protects the foot, v'eino margish klal shuhu yachef, and there's no sense of the ground below you. There are Rishonim who hold, according to Beis Yosef, there in Hilchas Yom HaKippurim, that's Asar Midrabanim. If you'll notice, I would imagine it hasn't changed. In my days, the Beis Medrash knew, the Gluck Beis Medrash, what is the floor made out of?
Carpet.
It's carpet? Oh, so by the way, when I started in the yeshiva, in the old Beis Medrash, it was linoleum. It was not carpet. Halfway through, they switched to carpet. Rav Shechter Shlita, if I recall correctly, on Yom Kippur, takes off his shoes throughout Yom Kippur when he's in the building, and when he walks, from what if he walks back home or he walks outside, then he puts on his shoes. This is the shita of the Bach that the Mishnah Berurah quotes. Mishnah Berurah in his Be'er Halacha says that he didn't mention the shita of the Bach because Magen Avraham and Taz disagree with him. He doesn't discuss it extensively, but there you should know that there are shitos that hold that all shoes are usher. In other words, the general understanding is, of course, canvas sneakers and so on are mutter. So the Bach holds that that actually one should go barefoot. Then you should go barefoot outside. But we're going to learn the next halacha that says that when a person's traveling, then in such a case, they're allowed to put on shoes. So therefore, if one in the house, so if you notice some people on Tisha B'Av or on Yom Kippur or Avelim that are not wearing shoes, that's the reason. They're being choshesh for this shita, which is definitely not what the Shulchan Aruch says, but take a look in the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Yom HaKippurim, and you'll see that there are many who are, there are shitos out there that are mechmir. Number one, the shita of Rashi that eats is aser. Number two, the shita of the Bach to go yachaf. And number three, the Mishnah Berurah who quotes those who say that even if you're not, you don't have to go yachaf, but it's if it's so comfortable that you don't feel the ground under you, it doesn't feel like it's yachaf, so then in such a case, it will be, it would also be usur. Again, the Iker Psak is not this way. The Iker Psak is that leather is prohibited, but it should be known for the record that there are definitely shitos out there. The one who brings this out best in Hilchos Avelus is the Beis Hillel again. The Beis Hillel is the star of the show today. So let's take a look at the Beis Hillel. The Beis Hillel says, Aser benilas asandal, kasa beis yozim b'shem Ramban, b'toras ha'adam, the Aser benilas asandal, v'ein aser al b'shel or. So we follow the shita of the Ramban. However, he says, if we're going to learn from Yom Kippur, you should know that there is this Bach. And he says, and if you're knowing this way on Yom Kippur, there's no reason that you wouldn't be knowing this way by Avelus. And then the Beis Hillel says, but the Smag disagrees. So the point is that those who are machmir for on Yom Kippur would be machmir as well. Again, they don't have to torture themselves when walking outside, because when walking outside, we have what we learned in Sif Dalet. In Sif Dalet, we learned the following halacha. Avel umenuda shahayim halchim bederech mutarim benilas asandal, ukishiyagil ir chaltsin. They're allowed to wear sandalim. That means even leather. So that's exactly what I saw from my rabbeim, that they would take off their shoes. When they would walk to shul, they would wear canvas sneakers. But once they would get to shul, then they would go in their socks. Yeah.
Shnagin le'ir. They sound like long journeys, you know. But once they get to the city, and then like,
right. That's a good point. There are poskim that say that bederech is mutter. There are definitely poskim that say that. But you're right. You're right. That's a decent point. But there are poskim that say that. Okay. There is an interesting Taz. The Mechaber tells us, "Kol adam mutar lino b'makom sheish sakanas akrav," that if there is a concern of a scorpion, in other words, even a chash rachok, then a person is allowed to wear shoes. Obviously, what the chiddush over here is, if it was a significant chance of pikuach nefesh, he wouldn't need to tell us this. But we're talking about even for a slight chance of pikuach nefesh, you could already put that on. Also, a woman within her 30 days of birth is, if the cold disturbs her. In America, it's hard to imagine. Here in Yerushalayim, during the winter, the floors could be really cold, and therefore, for a woman who's given birth, if chas v'chalila, she's in avel, so then, in such a case, she could wear shoes. Again, nowadays, we have sneakers and so on that could serve the purpose as well. The Taz comments about the sakonis agrav, so he says, the Taz says that at the end of the day, if you're walking on dirt, even if you're wearing a shoe, that'll be permissible. So let's say you need to represent the Jewish community. Reuven needs to represent the Jewish community in case of Avelis. He should put dirt in his shoe. As a kid, my father...
In the shoe.
Right. As a kid, I've never heard of this Lamaisa, but it is a fascinating task. Just as reminiscent, as a kid, my father, Arayni Kapars Mishkava, would like to tell us that it's well known the Rebbe of Rezhin was, who's the antecedent for the Bayaner Hasid and quite a few different Hasidus. He lived as royalty. There's a Shita in Hasidus that holds that the Rebbe representing Malchus will help the Hasidim serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's where some of the ornate stuff in Hasidus comes from. And the Rebbe Rezhin, Rabbi Yisrael Rezhin, was the first one who really, really, really exemplified that. But the Hasidim say that the Rebbe literally dressed in gold and silk, but his shoes, actually, he had the fanciest shoes, but his shoes didn't even have a sole. So in other words, he dressed in Malchus, but he himself was not an Enna one bit. So anyhow, this halacha reminds me a little bit of that, and that is he would go in his shoes, but inside his shoes would actually be dirt. And the Taz adds, "Hu adin b'makom sakonim, u'bechol makom shetzarech leilech b'menalim yasekein." So if you do need to go with your shoes, so then you would put dirt inside. Now that, I guess we have to ask our rabbein if any of our rabbein put, because we said, and we're learning now, that if he needs to go in his shoes, then he's supposed to put, but I don't think, I've never heard of someone doing that, but maybe there is someone out there that does that. Okay. There's one more halacha that we skipped in Shinayin Hay that comes back over here in Sif Hay. Im tzarech lachlots minol bebeis hakfaros achar shenikvar ameis nispar besimin Shinayin Hay. So we touched on it briefly, but let's just see this again. In Shinayin Hay, we have the following halacha. We have me'emasai shinayin hey aleph me'emasai chala avelus mishenikvar v'nigmar stimas hakever ba'ofer miyan maschal avelus matif rosha aval eino cholz min olav achi yigila beisa. The Ramban says you don't take off your shoes until you get to your house. Why don't you take off your shoes until then? Because we learned that someone who's holech b'derech it's going to be mutter. Va'achshav noagim lichlotz min al achas stimas hagol miyad. But today, says the Mechaber, the custom is immediately to take off one's shoes. Hagar? Yeah, Hagar has nothing to do with this. Okay, so Arayom Azeh, by the way, this is the Minog. The Minog is that if one can, Avelim should bring shoes to the Beis HaKfaros, because the Minog is not to put on shoes only when they come home, but immediately after Kvura to do it. So when my father passed away, I did do that. But I had not, when I lined up for the shura, I didn't yet switch into the shoes. And the Chevra Kedisha said that we should take off our shoes immediately. And that is the minhag. The minhag is that already at, when before they even walk through the shura, the Avelim take off their shoes, if they have their shoes. But that is all based on a custom. Me'ikr Dedina, the Ramban says it starts when a person gets home, but the custom is if the Avelim remember to bring it already then. The Ramah comments Yeshom Shitzarch Lelech Yachaf mi beis hakvaros lebeiso im meis aviv o'imo. So the Ramah says that they should go barefoot. Now, what is the Ramah adding that you don't have in the Mechaber? In other words, the Mechaber says, take a look at Shinayin Hay. Shinayin Hay, they say that you should put on shoes, take off the shoes immediately. So if you take a look at the Divrei Sofrim, which is in your regular booklet, the last two pages, in the Divrei Sofrim, he says, he gives the following explanation. He says, Yeshom shetzarech leilech yachaf, ken kasa ba'or zeruah, b'shem tshuvas rabo, shekasa shekei noagin sha'alaviyem, va'omnam choltsim minal mechazirasam, v'shar masei mitzvah, so the Or Zeruah had an in-between minog. Not like the Mechaber from the Ramban that said that they only took off their shoes when they got home. Not like those who say that you take off the shoes immediately, but it depended on whether there's a father or mother. that the avelus is for someone else. So for the father and mother, then they would take off their shoes. Commotion is bar b'simin shuna ayin hey b'shem harash or the Ramban. Aval al other the imot sarich lachlos mishum kibud av the aim af shalichu kasha. So there was this chumrah. The Ramban introduces a new chumrah, and that is that even though technically it's mutter to take off one's shoes only when one gets home, nevertheless, the Ramah says that when it comes to Aviv V'Imo, even when the walking is going to be difficult, so then it's going to be recommended to do that nevertheless. So for Shar Krovim, they didn't have that, but for Aviv V'Imo is already in Avelus, that even if the Halicha is going to be kasha, to which the Ramah concludes, V'lo Reisi Noag in Kain, the Ramah says that he didn't see them knowing this way. So what's the reason that they weren't knowing this way? So says the Shach, Hainu mishum rishas ha'akum, not because it's uncomfortable. If it's other v'imo, he should be uncomfortable, but rather due to the rishas ha'akum. So the Shach says, therefore, for other v'imo, then they should take off immediately in the Beis Hakvaros if there isn't any concern of rishas ha'goyim. Now, what I leave off with a little bit of a tzarech iyun. I looked around a little. I didn't get to the bottom of this. And that is, it seems to me that they don't follow the Ramah. That, in other words, it seems to me that there's no difference between it's Ava V'Imo or Shar Krovim, which was the simple reading of the Mechaber in Shinayin Hei. So why Ashkenazim don't make the split of Ava V'Imo, I'm not sure. Maybe because the Ramah himself just concluded v'lo nagin kain. So even though the Shach says because of rishas hagoyim, so then we fall back to the words of the Mechaber. And the words of the Mechaber was that the custom is that they immediately switched. So as I said originally, b'das haMechaber, that seems to be the custom. But this is the best explanation that I saw in this Ramah. It's a strange Ramah. And the best explanation I saw is the Divrei Sofim's explanation. And that's what the Shach is saying, that once upon a time, the goyim would mock Jews who were walking barefoot. So in order to, that was rishas hagoyim. So that's why they weren't knowing. So today, Baruch Hashem, where we don't have that, or they wouldn't mock, because if they're wearing sneakers, nowadays it would be common. When I was a kid, you never would see someone wearing sports shoes, wearing a suit or dress clothing. But now that's common as well. So as long as it wouldn't create any type of enmity or strangeness amongst the goyim, then in such a case that would be the custom. And I leave off with the tzarech iyun why it is that by Ashkenazim today the custom is just that everybody does it. Rav Nevinsal at his wife's levaya switched immediately into shoes immediately after the kvura. So it seems like the minog is not like this Ramah. Okay. Last halacha for today, Shin Pei Gimel Aleph, Tashmish Hamita, Avil Aser B'Tashmish Hamita. One of the prohibitions is Tashmish Hamita. Of course, in Chazal have scathing language to a person who would have intercourse during Shiva, and Chazal speak about someone like that, because, of course, that would be the ultimate expression of lack of appreciation of the loss. And so therefore Chazal are very, very harsh about that. However, on the other extreme, Av Bashar Divar Kurva Mutter, but all other kirva between husband and wife is going to be mutter. Afilub Zigas Hakos Vatsas Hamit of Archatis Panav Yodav Raglav, all of those things that we learned previously in the year that is going to be Asr between Anida. Bein Bavelus Tide, Bein Bavelus Tida. It doesn't matter whether it's his Avelus or her Avelus. That I might have thought maybe if it's his Avelus, so then in such a case she'd be more likely to encourage him to have Tashmish. Or the Shach ultimately learns the other way, that if she is an Avel, so then since he is not an Avel, he will coax her. And that makes more sense, because in general in Hilchos Nida we're afraid that he's going to coax her. Remember our klal, men are evil and women are good. Just to men, I need to emphasize that. And that would be the concern the concern over here. So all the harchakos don't apply. There is one exception, and that is avochibuk v'nishuk yesh lahachmir. But we don't allow hugging and kissing, according to the Ramah, lefi Rabbeinu Yerucham. We'll get back to that shortly. Umuteres leachol ima bikaru umuteres lishon ima. They could eat the same plates together. They could sleep together. Hu bebigda, hi bebigda. Umiu mishum lech lech amir nazir yesh lachmish lo yishon ima b'mito klal. But the custom is they don't sleep in the same bed. By the way, it doesn't seem anywhere that they need to separate the beds, but it shouldn't be the same bed. And the beds shouldn't be touching, which essentially becomes the same thing as Hilchos Nida. But otherwise, all the Archakos don't apply. The Beis Hillel, again, today's hero, the Beis Hillel comes along, and the Beis Hillel asks a Gishmak Akasha. With this, we'll wrap up. The Beis Hillel asks, but wait a second. According to the Beis Yosef, that if we're afraid the couple is going to have tashmish, we tell them they have to be porish. For example, they need to be porish samuch levesta. That was one of our halachas. So that the couple needs to be porish samuch levesta. So what's the halacha about chibuk v'nishuk? When it's her veses, what's halacha chibuk v'nishuk?
Sharkira's
mutter. And even chibuk v'nishuk, we had a shach that says that there are some who are machmir, but meikar v'dina, it's mutter. So why it is Rabbeinu Yerucham over here asir when it comes to this? So the Beis Hillel goes on for arichus. First, he suggests that maybe nida is or the chiyuv of prish is only derabbanan. That, by the way, of course, we had was a debate, but prish is derabbanan and velos yom rishon is daraisa. But he says that's not true, because according to the Rambam, Negiah is an Isser D'Oraisa, and Avelus after the first day is only D'Rabban. We're talking about all other days. And he says, maybe it's the exact opposite, that when it comes to Avelus, since Avelus is generally only D'Rabbanan, so then the couple are more likely to take it easy on the Yisurim. So then in such a case, they asr chibuk v'nishuk. In other words, chibuk v'nishuk was a geder that was created in contrast to when it comes to nida, then the couple are already know that there are many who are machmir during that period of time, but when it comes to avelus, they're more likely to come lidei avera. That's the Beis Hillel's chiddush. I don't know psychologically today which one are the couple more likely to come lidei avera, but it comes out in the bottom line is that miikur dedina, let's say svaradim, no, svaradim are not a great example, let's say those who follow the simple Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, who say that it's mutter chibuk v'nishuk, but those who follow the Ramah and Shin Pei Gimel say that chibuk v'nishuk is going to be aser, even though by Prisha Samach Vesta it's going to be mutter. For by the way, for Sfaradim, again, here, there's no mention of Chibuk V'nishuk being Aser, so it could very well be Chibuk V'nishuk would be mutter for Sfaradim. I did not take a look at Chacham Avadi's Atzal, but that would be something that's Kedai to take a look. By the way, Pnei Baruch Paskin straight up in that it's Aser, Chibuk V'nishuk is Aser. Okay, we'll stop over here. Amir Tzashem will continue pounding ahead on these small simanim. The Sif Beis is very straightforward. The Siyat of the Shmaya, it doesn't really happen. And so, go ahead, Shin Pei Dalet, Shin Pei Hei, Shin Pei Vav, maybe even Shin Pei Zayin. We'll probably try to push ahead. These are relaxed simanim, but important halachos.